Before we get to the sermon, I have some business I need to take care of. I'm starting a fire department, and I'm recruiting. It'd help if I had my glasses so I could see what I wrote. Starting a fire department, and I'm recruiting volunteers. I'll get to the sermon in a minute. So my fire department, I need someone to change the light bulbs. Who wants to volunteer to change the light bulbs? All right, Helen's going to change the light bulbs. What's that? Doesn't matter, she volunteered. So Helen volunteered to change the light bulbs. I need someone to sweep and mop the floors. Diane. Debbie, sorry. See, I knew this was going to happen when I got up here being nervous. I'm going to blank out on everybody's names. Helen's going to change the light bulbs. Debbie's going to sweep and mop the floors. This is my fire department. I need somebody to polish the brass. Who wants to? Wayne and Julie. Yep. Helen is going to change the light bulbs. Debbie's going to sweep and mop the floors. Julie's going to polish the brass. I need someone to gas up the truck. Carla? Carla's going to gas up the truck. Okay, so so my fire department, I need Helen is going to change the light bulbs. Debbie is going to sweep and mop the floors. Julie is going to polish the brass. Carla is going to gas up the truck. So Helen, what's your job? So this is my fire department. What's your job in my fire department? Who said that? Fight fires. These are the things that you do, maybe gifts if you want to say, that you do within my fire department. But your job is to fight fires. And brethren, I think as we get caught up in church life, we get caught up in church attendance. Make sure that we're at church. And these are not bad things. These are good things. Get caught up in Bible studies. I want to get deep in the Word. I want to learn more about the Word. Potlucks and fellowship, which are all good things. But brethren, we leave out the main thing. The main thing. And it's kind of an outdated word. I like to use it. I call it soul winning. To win souls to Christ. For a while I stopped using it, but then Charles Spurgeon has a book called The Soul Winner. So I thought, hey, if it's good enough for him, I'll still use it. I have a pet peeve, and this is my personal pet peeve, that many churches have time to organize everything. They have time to organize, you name it, except everything except for the main thing, which is soul winning. For some reason, you can't organize a church for soul winning. Look with me at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to start in verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And we're going to look at a couple different verses this morning. We're going to start with this verse and then go to a second verse later. Preaching a topical message, not starting at the first chapter of the book and working my way through. A little different doing it topical. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Brethren, I want you to know, number one, if you are a follower of Christ, he will make you a fisher of men. Jesus told these guys, fishermen, as he's walking by, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When Christ saved me many years ago, oh, I like this. This is kind of nice. Sorry, a little distracted there. When Christ saved me many years ago, He put an instant desire in my heart to tell folks about Christ. I've never understood Christians who don't have that. Just get saved and have no desire to tell anybody about Christ, but profess a faith in Christ. Why did that? Was that desire in me? Man, I had found everlasting life. We sang the songs. My sins are forgiven. They're gone, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. How can I not tell somebody else that they can be free? Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. The first soul that I won to Christ, our first church that we were members of, it was a soul-winning church. They went door knocking. I'd never heard of that before, but I knew I had to tell people about Christ. That we would meet 3 times a week in a parking lot, this old elementary school they used to meet in. We would meet there and we would pair up. Now, I didn't talk. I didn't want to talk. I was petrified, terrified of talking to people. But I knew I wanted to be part of that getting the gospel out. We would pair up and they would say, okay, who's the talker? Who wants to talk? And I always say, nope, not me. Not me. Not me. One night they paired me up with Keith Enix, who was about 12 at the time, maybe. And I didn't say anything. I'm just goofy. I thought, well, he must be a talker. So we get in the car on the way to where we're going. And as we're talking, I say, so are you a talker? And he looks at me and goes, no, aren't you? I'm like, no. You see what God did there? You see what God did there? He forced me into a position of having to open my mouth. One of the first doors we knocked, I asked the guy if I could share the gospel with him, and he said yes. And in my mind, I'm thinking, are you sure? Are you serious? I got through the gospel with him. I could see his family in the background, and he stood at the door with us. And he listened, and I got at the end, and he made a profession of faith that night. Another time, a good friend of mine, we call him Brother Barry, this was a few years later, we were knocking doors in a, looked like a pretty well-to-do neighborhood. The last door we knocked on before we were getting ready to go, we would load up on buses and they'd take us out to somewhere and drop us off, and we'd hope that they would come back and pick us up. So the last door that we knocked on before we were getting ready to go, and it was my door, and because we always took turns, knocked on the door. An older lady answered. She was very polite. And she opened the door about just so I could see her face. And she gave us reason that she couldn't go to church and something with her husband. I don't remember what, now I don't remember what it was, but it was something was going on there in the home. She kept it about that far, and we told her what the church we were from and asked her if we could share the gospel with her, and she said that yes. And shared the gospel with her, asked her if she'd like to receive Christ, and she said yes. Now, we prayed with her. And when I opened my eyes, after we were done praying and looked up at her, she had tears streaming down her face. She said thank you, and she closed the door. Brethren, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Are you fishing for men? Is there a desire in you to tell others about Jesus Christ? Brethren, I say this with all sincerity and love that I have. If you are following Christ, you are fishing for men. If you're not fishing for men, you are not following Christ. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. It doesn't matter how many Bible studies you go to, how deep you get in your Word, how much Bible knowledge you have. There are atheists who have more Bible knowledge than most Christians. Apostates who now once professed faith and now attack the faith who have more Bible knowledge. Doesn't matter how many people you feed or clothe, if you are not fishing for men, you are not following Jesus Christ. Because the message of Jesus Christ is the gospel, which is to go into all the world. I have a friend that goes, a couple friends, maybe you've heard me talk about them, who go around, I keep hitting the wire, sorry about that, who go around to different churches in the area. And they will stand outside with signs. Now, these aren't the guys with the hellfire signs. They have scripture on them, like Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And they will try to engage people and talk with them about the gospel. One of them calls churches and Christian organizations up in the area, and he lives up in Bellingham and all around the area. How are you training your people to share their faith? How are you discipling them, training them to share their faith so that they can go out and teach others how to share their faith? And on and on. That's how discipleship works. The response he gets, 99.99% of the time, we don't. We don't. Brethren, how are we teaching our kids in the youth group, in the Sunday school classes, the adults in the Sunday school classes? And I understand there's time for studying the Word, but in our those that we have influence over in our classes, how are we discipling them and teaching them to share their faith in Christ? Now, I like what Pastor Pat says. If you're saved, you know the gospel. You know how to share it. And brethren, we can go on learning, can't we? We can build on that. We can learn. But how are you influencing others, teaching them, discipling them to grow in their knowledge of the gospel, to share, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is where I take a drink of water. Number one, you said I had till three, right? Number one, if you're a follower of Christ, he will make you a fisher of men. Don't miss that. Don't miss it. Jesus called these men. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Number one, if you're a follower of Christ, he will make you a fisher of men. Turn to Matthew 28 with me. Matthew 28. If you're like me, it's where the marker is in your Bible. Oh. Matthew 28. And we're going to verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all. If you have a pen, you should circle that word, all. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, I should circle it because I don't have it circled. Don't want to be a hypocrite. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Did you catch that? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. What's the therefore? Because of what went before. Go, because Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Just Cedar Woolley? Just the Skagit Valley? All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. All authority has been given to Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth. He is the Creator. He is King. He, capital K, yeah, I-N-G. Not the same. Anyway, He is the King. He is Lord. I heard a preacher say one time, and I think it's true, Jesus Christ is the only Lord in the world who can't tell his people what to do. Because that's how most Christians treat Jesus Christ. Most is, you can't tell me to do that. Well, it's in the scriptures. Well, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King. All authority has been given to him. And therefore, because of that authority, he commands us to go. To go. Now, maybe you've heard some of these regarding witnessing, preaching Jesus Christ to people. You need to earn the right to witness. I've heard these. Maybe you've heard them too. You need to earn the right to witness. You need to let people see Jesus in you so they will come to you and ask you what you've got that they don't have. Friendship evangelism, which kind of covers the two I just read, which is neither friendship nor evangelism. Be nice to people, hang out with them. Maybe someday you'll be good enough friends, you can share the gospel with them. Something like that. And here's one. Preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. That's just plain stupid. These are lies from the devil and lies from cowardly men. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he commands, this isn't if you feel like it, commands us to go. In Acts chapter 4, you can turn there, I didn't write the verse down, I just copied it and pasted it. In Acts chapter 4, when the religious leaders commanded the apostles to not speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus, what was their response? I'm sorry, can we have a potluck later? Didn't mean to offend you. No. They said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. Brethren, have your sins been forgiven? Are you cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? Can you not tell others about that so they can have the same freedom? Jesus said he will make you fishers of men. And because he has all authority, he commands you to go. Go where? Everywhere. Anywhere. Go to perfect strangers that you pass. Wherever. Go to the front of the church. I don't know how many people have passed by the front of this church. This is a fishing pond here. How many people I've seen pass by the front of this church here? I try to run out and grab them before they get all the way by and give them at least a gospel tract. And brethren, the ones that I've talked to, and I've talked to quite a few, do you know how many of them knew the gospel? Zero. Excuse me, do you know if you died today that you'd go to heaven? I hope so. Here, let me show you what Scripture says. You're a sinner. I'll narrow it down. You're a sinner. You've broken God's laws. You've lied, stolen, committed adultery in your heart because you've lusted after someone. If God judges you by that standard, and He will, you will end up in hell on judgment day. You will stand before God, and He will cast. Scripture says, John chapter 3, verse 18, you're already condemned. You can't try to do good things to make your life better and hope you'll get there. You're already condemned. Do you know what God did for you so you don't have to go to hell? You know how many people knew? Zero. Maybe one. But 0 to 1. Maybe 0.5. Of all the people I've talked to passing in front of the church, brethren, and I'm not angry with anybody, but I plead with you. I beg you. When we're standing out there fellowshipping, don't let someone go by without at least trying to give them a gospel tract or talk with them about their soul. Please. You have eternal life. Your sins have been washed away. Do you not want to share that with someone else? Go to the front of the church. Where else can we go? Jesus commands us to go. Go where? To the front of the church building. He commands us to go. You know, if you go far enough, long enough, you'll find all kinds of people and maybe experience some strange things. Now, I've had some goofy things happen. I just wrote one down that really freaked me out one time. A friend of mine, his name was Dave, we were getting ready to go soul winning. We were getting ready to, he met up with me and we were going to take my car and we were going to go, I forget where. We're going soul winning. And I saw this kid, I saw him over there, he's coming this direction in front of our house. I saw him over there and it's like, I should witness to him, but we got to go. And I had, you know, when I walked out the door, I put my keys in my pocket. Dave had his Bible in his pocket. I had keys in my pocket. And I said, I should witness to him, but we're late. We got to go. We're going to be late. And I started my car and put my hand in my pocket. My keys weren't there. What in the world? I just put them. I went in the house. I'm looking all over. Ramona's like, what are you doing? So I can't find my keys. Now, unbeknownst to me at the same time, Dave couldn't find his Bible. He's looking all over in the car, all over the ground. He couldn't find his Bible. So I thought, well, I can't find my keys. I'm going to go witness to this kid. So he had got about maybe right there. And I grabbed the gospel tract and said, hey, let me talk to you. And he said, you can talk as I'm walking. I said, okay. So I'm talking with him. He turned out to be a pastor's kid. Rejected the gospel. But he let me go through it with him. So I shared the gospel with him as we're walking down the sidewalk. And we got near the end, and he just, he wouldn't yield. You know, he wouldn't, had no interest in Christ. And kind of made me sad. He was a pastor's kid. Rejecting the gospel. Now we know that sinners can't come to Christ unless the Father draws them, but it broke my heart. So I left him with the tract. If I remember correctly, he did take the tract with him. And who knows, maybe God brought him to faith later. I don't know. I'm just a seed plant. I'm going like this, planting seed. I walked back to the house and walked up to the door and put my hand in my pocket. Guess what was there? My keys. And I found out later, from the same time, Dave put his hand in his pocket, he found his Bible. Now, I know my keys weren't there because I dug all around in my pockets. And I'm not. And it freaked me out. Ramona came out the door and she said, what's wrong with you? You look white as a ghost. Because God cares that much about souls. Why can't we care that much? He saved us. He washed us of our sins. Do we not want that for others? I was too busy to witness to the young lad, but God gave me time. Amen. Yeah, and Dave was freaked out too because he had searched all over in his coat. His Bible was not there. And when he reached in that last time after I found my keys, his Bible was there again. I'm not saying that everyone has experiences like that. I'm just saying you might see some wonderful things. Jesus commands us to go. Go to the street fair. It doesn't take much to hand out tracts at the street fair. A few years ago, a friend of mine, Shane, and I were there preaching at the street fair. On one corner, we were preaching. Well, he was preaching. And he finished, and we walked down. We just handed out tracts. We got to another corner, and we prayed. He was getting ready to preach again, and all of a sudden, this guy walked up and interrupted us, said, excuse me. He said, I heard you guys preaching while back down on the corner back there. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm not saved. Can you help me? Tell me how to be saved. Brethren, we don't have those experiences because we're not concerned about the lost. We're concerned about us. We're not concerned about the lost. The first time I preached at the street fair, I know this sounds like, I want to interrupt myself here. I'm not saying these things to lift me up. I hope it doesn't come across that way. But these are things that God has worked in my life that I'm sharing with you. So don't get second thinking that I'm trying to build myself up in everybody's eyes. I'm not. I'm sharing what God has done through me, what things He's done in my life. A few years ago, the first time I preached at the street fair a few years ago, I engaged a young Russian boy, well, teenager, yeah, a Russian boy, and was able to go through the whole gospel with him. Now, he did not receive Christ, at least not at that time. And later on, I was walking around handing out tracts. It was maybe an hour, hour and a half later. A lady stops me in the middle of the sidewalk, says, "I want to thank you." And I said, "For what?" So that Russian boy you talked to is an exchange student from Russia. We're hosting him. We're Christians. We've been trying to witness to him. He won't hear it from us, but he lets you go through the full gospel with him. Brethren, you don't know who God has been put in your path. You don't know who's going to be there, who you're talking to. Jesus commands us to go. Go door knocking. Jesus commands us to go. Where can you go? Anywhere. Go door knocking. It's fun. See, no soliciting signs. We're not soliciting. Knock, knock, knock. We knocked on the door one time, and my friend Dave again. And as Dave's turned at the door, and he's talking to the gentleman, and he's an Asian fella. And he said, Dave said, "Do you know if you..." Oh, it turned out he was the pastor of a Korean church in the area. And Dave said, "Do you know if you die today that you go to heaven?" "You know, I've been really thinking about that a lot lately." This is a pastor of a Christian church. I don't remember what kind of church it was, other than a Korean church. Brethren, you cannot assume that someone is a believer because of their position. You cannot. We had a great conversation with him. Dave was able to go through the gospel with him, through the scriptures. He did not receive Christ, but he said, "You've given me a lot to think about. A lot to think about." Jesus commands us to go. Yesterday, I'll go back up. Last Wednesday night, on our way home, Ramona and I stopped at a gas station. No, last Wednesday night before church. A lady was walking by and Ramona engaged her. Her name was Tiffany. And she ended up receiving Christ on the front steps out there. Wednesday night, later on Wednesday night, we stopped at a gas station to get gas. Normally we pay at the pump, but that night I went in to pay with cash. And as I paid with cash, I paid the lady, she gave me my change back, I started to walk away and said, "Hey, can I give you an invitation to church?" Pulled out one of our church tracts. Her eyes started to well up with tears. I said, what's going on? And she did take the tract, and she said, told me a story that her husband a year and a half ago, she's thinking about looking for a church, because her husband a year and a half ago, something's going on. He's been in the hospital for a year and a half, and his body just was able to come off machines, his antibodies or something started working again, and she didn't tell me what happened to him, and they lost their house because her husband couldn't work. They lost their house, they're homeless. Her and her kids, one of them's going off to college, but she said every night her and her young daughter have to find a place to sleep. So I said, I said, "We're a small church, I don't know if we can help, but call that number." And, but friends, people are hurting. People need the Lord. What that lady needs is the Lord. Yesterday, Ramona and I were in Burlington. We stopped at this pawn shop to look around for something. And there was these two Mexican gentlemen that were standing in front of this building over here with signs. One had Romans 6:23 on it. One had John 3:16. And so I was curious. I went over and introduced myself. They didn't speak much English. I don't speak much Spanish. But they had English tracts, and I looked at the tract, and I was like, that's a good tract. the trek. They can't speak hardly any English, but they're out there with signs trying to get the gospel out. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He commands us to go. Go where? Anywhere. Everywhere. And don't let looks fool you. Many times I've looked at somebody and said, they won't want to hear it. Yeah. And give them a gospel tract and we spend it talking 30, 40 minutes. Other times I've looked at somebody and said, they want to hear it. They'll want to hear it. And they cuss me out. So don't let looks fool you. All righty. Number one, if you're a follower of Christ, he will make you a fisher of men. Number two, if you're a follower of Christ, he commands you to go. And brethren, number three, if you're a follower of Christ, let's read that again, Matthew 28, in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, now watch this, I am with you always, even to the end. Brethren, Christ will make you a fisher of men. He commands you to go. And he says, I will be with you always, even to the end. God has never abandoned me. God never abandoned the apostles. God never abandons his people. How many of you have read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? Has anybody? The Fox's Book of Martyrs? Has anybody read that? You have, Helen? Halfway? Let me encourage you. If you can find, you can find them cheap. Find the Fox's Book of Martyrs and read it. That's what it is. Christians who have been martyred for their faith. And brethren, there are pages where it's like 20, 30 pages of just, he died, he died, he died, he died, he died, she died, she died, they died, the family died, they died, she died, she died. It can wear on you. It starts from the apostles and goes through, I forget what the end point is, but they up to that period of time whenever it was written. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Friends, and brethren, we don't have that here. We don't have to worry about being sawn in half, stoned to death on a regular basis, shot. We've had some believers in this country who have been martyred for their faith, right? The kids in the school, I forget the name of the school several years ago, boy walked up to her in the high school and said, are you a Christian? Yes, bang. Columbine, thank you. Columbine. We've had some Christians martyred for their faith in this country, but it's not a regular occurrence. If you are following Jesus Christ, he will be with you always. He will make you a fisher of men. He commands you to go. And he will be with you always. Let's pray, brother.